It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. PBS Wisconsin launches a new series called Wisconsin in Black and White, shedding light on the effects of racism through generations. And you can be part of this conversation. Call in with a question, share your views, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Merv Seymour is a special projects journalist for PBS Wisconsin's news and public affairs program Here and Now, worked on this series. Merv, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me this morning.
Good morning. The series talks about the through line between slavery and incarceration and the overrepresentation of Black people in prisons now. How different is Wisconsin from other areas of the country?
Well, you look at the numbers and numbers tell a story. You know, Wisconsin leads the nation in the incarceration of Black men. You know, Blacks in the state of Wisconsin represent about 6% of the population, but about 42% of those who are incarcerated. So if you took 36, you know, Blacks and put them in a classroom, per se, one in 36 of those Blacks would find themselves being incarcerated. So, you know, nationally, Blacks are about five times more likely to be incarcerated than white folks. And here in the state of Wisconsin, that number is 12 times more likely than a white person here in the state of Wisconsin. So the numbers tell the story, and it's not a very pretty story for lots of people, obviously.
You talked with so many people about this issue, and I'm just wondering, these were very raw, very real interviews. What stood out to you in how you went about talking about this series and hearing from so many different people from all walks of life?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, as a journalist, you know, you just follow where
The story takes you.
Yep. You go where it takes you. And as we kind of dug into this, and this is a really, really huge effort between us and the Nehemiah Center. We had a huge team. This process has been going on for probably over 4 years. And I just stepped into it, you know, a few years ago when I started at PBS Wisconsin. But I think we really learned a lot from just seeing how, you know, a lot of these issues are connected to each other. You know, we broke it down into the criminal justice system, education, economic empowerment, and health and wellness. And you find out that, you know, over-policing and, you know, the history of arresting Black folks for doing minimal crimes, you know, that takes people away from the family, that affects income. Then laws with education, you know, affects the ability to be educated, and that affects your ability to get a job. And the stresses from, you know, oppression and those sort of things affect your health and birth rates and all these other things. And everything is really connected. And I learned so much about, you know, that connection and how it's all kind of intertwined with each other.
Some people in the series are calling on federal and state governments to take accountability for issues in the criminal justice system. And how could Wisconsin authorities take accountability for the system's problems and the disparities that are so pronounced?
Well, you know, these are calls that have been going on for, as we know, decades. And I guess it starts probably with law and policy. You know, that's really where, you know, the action takes place. Obviously, advocates are calling for more funding towards education and not prisons. Even former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, who is kind of has the notoriety of building more prisons in the state than any other governor. You know, today he's all about education for folks that are incarcerated. He's all about giving them the tools they need that will allow them to be more productive, you know, once they leave, you know, the prisons, you know, and people want to see more funding towards community-based programs like, you know, drug treatment and prison diversion programs and really just offering alternatives to prison. And, you know, in talking with Secretary Carr about some of these things, you know, he's pretty straight up about these are things that he's looking into and wants to do what he can to, push in that direction in terms of trying to create what they call a more trauma-based kind of care towards incarceration, which means, you're just being, providing the tools that someone needs so they're not just coming out here without any kind of support in terms of giving themselves a chance to get back on their feet.
Yeah, so you talked with the secretary for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, Kevin Carr. We're talking with Merv Seymour, PBS Wisconsin journalist, worked on the series Wisconsin in Black and White. Call in with a question. You can share your comments along the way. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new series from PBS Wisconsin explores how racist policies in our state's history affect people's lives today. Merv Seymour is a special projects journalist for PBS Wisconsin, worked on Wisconsin in Black and White. You can add your voice. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Merv, you interviewed Reverend Greg Lewis in Milwaukee, who says people elsewhere are unfamiliar with the prevalence of racism in Milwaukee.
When I go to other places, people don't even know that Milwaukee had black folks living here. He says, black folks in Milwaukee? Yeah. And they're being oppressed like crazy.
And he also called Milwaukee the Selma of the North. That stood out to me. How much do people in Wisconsin understand systemic racism in the state?
That's a great question, and I think that's one of those answers where it depends on who you talk to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The person who's living it every day, the person who is being profiled, the person who is being ID'd when everybody else isn't being ID'd, the person being singled out, they understand it. They may not understand it in terms of the term systemic, but they certainly understand it in terms of living it. And I know as an African American myself, I've certainly seen, situations like that. And you spread out in some of the rural parts of the of Wisconsin, and and maybe people don't know that much about it, and probably most don't, because it's not something they would probably think about, because it may not affect their immediate lives. So I really think that that's a one of those things that it really depends on who you talk to, but I would say most people don't know about and understand, systemic racism and how it works. And I certainly had to learn some things as I dove into this, because it really speaks to, how our government on a national level and then obviously at a state level created these, policies that, disenfranchised so many people of color, in terms of loans for housing,
mm-hmm.
during a time when everyone
was,
had opportunities to do those sorts of things. It really depends on who you talk to.
Let's turn to the work of the Nehemiah Center for Urban Leadership Development in Madison. Dr. Alex G., you interviewed G. and says, people avoid recognizing their culpability for racism within schools.
We want to fight against racism, but when we don't properly address it, the educational systems themselves become breeding grounds for racism.
Why do people avoid taking that responsibility?
Oh, that's another million-dollar question. Obviously, it's an extremely uncomfortable topic for, I think, most people. It's a heavy weight to toe for people that kind of get involved in the conversation. It hurts. It's painful. It's the history of how we got here is certainly painful, and I think a lot of people look at it and say, "Well, it doesn't affect me." And there are folks out there that do step up and, and say that I'm going to get involved and I'm going to do something to kind of affect change. But I think there is a certain level of fear that people have And I think there are folks too that are concerned about, how it's going to impact their, business relationships and personal relationships. What are other people going to think if I stand for this or, or stand for that? So yeah, a really complex kind of, solution to something like that.
One breathtaking moment in one of your interviews, the person said white society is addicted to racism. And it's a line that just was, it's scary and it has many layers to it. Did that stand out to you?
I do. I think you're speaking of a soundbite from Associate Professor Ian Main in the Wisconsin Law Department. It's so much of this is a perspective that everyone, we all have different perspectives based on our experiences. And, Ayn Mayne's a person who, teaches law and has worked on the front lines of the civil rights and worked with innocence, types of, projects, helping, free people, who are wrongly convicted. And that's his experience. And we certainly, as an organization, let people express, what they felt based on what they've experienced. So yeah, some of it is really, it really is tough to hear. For me personally, some of it's not surprising, but to hear other people say it and kind of see it that way, and to be willing to say it, I think that's part of, how we move the needle. Is being honest and letting people express what is, the reality of this ugly thing that we're dealing with, systemic racism.
Merv Seymour, special projects journalist for PBS Wisconsin, worked on this series that looks at the lasting effects of systemic racism. You can join in your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Merv, you examined why talking about race in schools is difficult. Kaleem Kerr, founder and CEO of One City Schools in Madison, there's his voice in this piece. And here's Kerr answering your question about why talking about race can be difficult.
We have divorced ourselves from the problem, that it is not only something that I'm embarrassed or don't want to be culpable in, but it's been persisting for so long. I've heard people say that, like, I can't focus on the problem because it just brings me down, because it's like we've not solved it, it's not going to be solved. And so I think there's a lot of hopelessness. We also live in a state that by and large has been privileged for a very long time. And so when you're privileged and things are going okay and you don't have to focus on the issue, you act like it doesn't exist.
What would you tell people who relate to that sentiment that the pervasiveness of racism leads to that feeling of hopelessness?
Well, I think that's certainly a natural emotion when you're dealing with pain and oppression and struggle. I'd say that when you think about the history of slavery and civil rights, you'll notice that, people still strived and moved forward, it's really one of the questions that I posed to Dr. Christy Clark Bajar, who teaches history here at the University of Wisconsin. I said, man, how did Black people survive all this? It's a mix of faith. It's a mix of hope. And a lot of this is just perspective, how you look at things. We can choose, to have hope or choose to be hopeless. And it may sound a little simple, but I think that's the way some people do look at it. Now we're looking at this movement, the social justice movement, which is kind of it's not new. It certainly isn't new, but it may be new in terms of how people have been affected by the things that are going on. And so, you have to look at the, you can't get overwhelmed by the big picture of the challenge of trying to solve all these issues. You can only do what you can do and do a little piece at a time and hopefully the needle starts to move and begin to move and through education and awareness.
Merv, thank you for joining us.
Kate, I really appreciate you letting us come on to kind of promote and talk about this upcoming screening. I think it's going to be an incredible event for folks in the community to learn about systemic racism here in the state.
Merv Seymour, special projects journalist at PBS Wisconsin's Here and Now. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.